Hello, friends. This is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place for you to learn more about Him and to grow in your relationship with Him. If you find the podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. We believe it will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and you will be strengthened in your relationship with Jesus. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. We're in the book of Romans, and in this episode, we're going to be starting chapter 14. We're in what I've referred to as the practical section of the book, or the instructive section. There's a number of ways that you could label it, but it's a part of the book that I've talked about is very common in Paul's letters, where he moves into an outworking of the things that he's laid as a foundation theologically on a truth-based perspective of what Christ has done for us. And as a result, there's an impact in our lives practically. And so he moves into these practical instructive sections. You see it happen in several of his letters. In Romans, it's pretty clear that that happens after chapter 8. He goes into that parentheses, as I've referred to it, on talking about God's plan for Israel. And we looked at that kind of as a standalone section, chapters 9, 10, and 11. And then in chapter 12 is when he moved into this practical exhortation section of the book. And we looked about how God has given each member of the body of Christ gifts by his grace and the measure of faith. They operate and function as members of the body to bring benefit to the other members of the body. And we talked about community life. In chapter 13, we looked at the believer's interaction with authority structures and specifically governments. And now in chapter 14, Paul's going to move into a discussion of what I would call issues of conscience. In other words, how believers interact with each other in different levels of conviction regarding things that are outside of the foundational issues of salvation and the work of Christ. But now you get into a more practical area of making decisions on what is, quote, right or wrong for a single individual. And this is a very common issue. It's probably one of the most practical issues that we ever face when we begin to relate to other believers in any type of depth of opinions and preferences. We run into different ideas and we have different levels of conviction. And Paul is going to take this up on a very practical level. So let's look at this starting in Romans 14. I'm going to read for this episode verses 1 through 4. Now, accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Now, Paul starts his discussion in relationship to issues of consciousness by recognizing first and foremost that there are those in the body who are what he calls weak in faith. Now, what that simply means is that they don't have a measure of faith that creates for them a space of freedom in their relating to the Lord and in relating to other people. It's not a degrading judgment. It's just a simple observation of fact. Paul speaks of it as though it is an obvious thing that some people gravitate more toward a place of less faith toward their relationship with God in regards to what is permissible and what is not permissible. Now, obviously, we can go to extremes in this discussion. We stay away from the extreme on one side of falling into sin, doing things in total freedom that fall outside of God's permissible will. Obviously, we don't want to say our freedom allows us to do anything we want to do. Paul is very clear in that in Galatians chapter 5, where he says it is for freedom that Christ has set you free, but don't let your freedom turn into an opportunity for the flesh. In other words, don't walk out the desires of your flesh in such a way that you would sin just because you are free. So this is not what Paul's talking about. He's just simply saying that there are those in the body of Christ who operate at a deeper level of faith in regards to the negotiable issues of life. Now, the thing that he takes up specifically to make his point is the issue of eating. Now, we all know that food is a big issue in life, and for many today, even, there's lots of opinions about what you should and shouldn't eat. But just know, in Paul's context of the first century, especially among Jews and Gentiles, this was a very big issue because of the Jewish law, which the Jews lived under, what was called the sundry laws of the Old Testament and the Jewish Torah, where there were very strict instructions about what's kosher to eat and what's not kosher to eat. And we know that according to the New Covenant, God has purified and cleansed all things, and we're not under the law in regards to sundry food laws. Now, it's debatable of whether eating a certain way may or may not be healthier for the body or not, and that's not really the point. The point that Paul's making is that in Christ, we're actually free to eat anything we want to eat. He regards those that fall into the category of needing to only eat certain things because they feel like other things are not permissible. He says those people are weaker in faith, and he instructs those who are stronger in their faith towards God in regards to things they can eat with this exhortation: don't judge the one who is weaker in faith. Don't pass judgment on his opinions. He says there in verse 2, one person has faith that he may eat all things. And so see, it's a faith position to say, I really believe by faith that God has made all things pure and I'm free to eat whatever I want to eat. And so Paul says, don't pass judgment on the one who is weaker and says, I can't do that. He says the other only eats vegetables because he doesn't have the strength of faith to branch out and eat other things. And so Paul's making this very clear that the one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, nor is the one who does not eat certain things to hold in contempt he who eats. And then he makes this statement, for the Lord has accepted him. He's specifically talking about the one who is stronger in his faith and decides to branch out and eat anything he desires, because he says that God accepts that person. So the point I believe Paul's driving across is a couple of things. One is there are different measures of faith which believers walk in the areas of conscience. And we don't need to pass judgment on other believers based on these issues. We need to be mature enough to understand that God supports and upholds each and every member based on his own conviction before the Lord. And we don't need to let our hearts condemn us, nor do we need to condemn one another. Paul goes on to say, who are you to judge the servant of another? He's using the servant-master analogy simply because that actually applies to our relationship to the Lord. If we're living unto the Lord and he is our Lord and we are his servant, then we're truly trying to obey the Lord to the best that we can based on the conviction and the measure of faith that he's put within our hearts. So it's not any other believer's place to stand in judgment of another and say that area of conviction is wrong, because God is able to make each and every one of us stand in the measure of faith and conviction that we have. Now, again, this is not regarding areas of sin. It's not regarding areas of obvious instruction of the Lord to do things that are in line with his character and his nature. These issues fall into what I would call the negotiable issues of life, and we need to be very careful that we don't pass judgment on one another in these areas. For this episode, I want you to consider in your own life, where is your own measure of faith as you relate to the Lord in regard to negotiable things, and where is your attitude toward other believers? We need to be very tolerant toward other believers in the areas of negotiable preference. Now, I know that the word tolerable is a very loaded word in our culture today. And again, I'm not promoting tolerance for sin, but I do believe there's a great measure of tolerance we should have, especially for other believers who walk in different measures of faith toward God in their relationship with Him in regard to negotiable issues. So be strong and courageous and love Jesus more.